Earlier this year, actually very early this year, back in January, we checked in with Will Coleman, who's the CEO of Alto, the ride-sharing car business that set up, that started up here really late last year, I guess. And he had like 25 cars and had about $15 million in seed money in his pocket. It's time to catch up and see what happened to all that money. Will Coleman's here again.
We've been spending it.
Except you say Alto.
Alto.
And I say Alto.
And tomato, tomato.
But the fact is, back in January when we spoke, you know, you talk about this, and most people say, I have no idea what they're talking about. But all of a sudden, I see your cars. They're not quite ubiquitous, but I see a lot more of them. Right?
There are quite a few now around town. We're excited about the growth we've seen in the last few months, and it's great to be back on the CEO Spotlight.
So it's a subscription service, and it's different. You pay a monthly fee, but then you get a discount on the per ride trips.
That's right. We have a membership model, so we actually have two ways you can ride. You can ride as a guest, which means you can download our app, and if you're going to just use it infrequently, you can sign up and pay a small fee for each ride, a booking fee. And if you think that you're going to use it more frequently, you can pay a $12 a month subscription, and for that you get to ride without the booking fee on each ride.
And at the time you said, well, you were going to try to, it was for everybody, but you're going to try to orient it, make it sort of woman friendly, less intimidating, maybe even have some women drivers. So tell me where you are right now.
Sure. Yeah, we built the brand really around the needs of a woman, of a professional, of a family, someone looking for safety, quality, and consistency in the rides that they were taking. And we've seen that brand and those needs have been really, really important to a lot of our members.
And is that your demographic?
That's our demographic. You know, we're focused on people that feel those needs when they're moving around.
Safety. And you have full-time drivers.
Full-time drivers. That's another need we were solving for. We were really thinking not only about the passenger, but how to solve the needs of drivers as well, and also for cities. And so we've have full-time and employee drivers, importantly, because we think that solves for passenger needs, but also creates a much better experience for our drivers.
Are many of them women?
Yes, quite a few of them are women. I think we're now over 30% women drivers, and the car business for a long time has been about 10%. So we feel like we're doing quite well.
So you had, am I right, 25 cars the last time we spoke?
25. We launched with 25 here in Dallas. That's right.
Where are you now?
We're well over 50 today, and have goals to be near 75 or more by the end of the year.
And you're still spreading out over over Dallas primarily, right?
We're really focused on growing Dallas. When we last talked in January, we covered about 70 square miles of the Metroplex. Now we're up to almost 500 square miles, covering South Dallas to Frisco, all the way in Lakewood and Lake Highlands over to DFW Airport. And we can, as we grow the fleet and grow the driver base, we continue to expand.
Well,
the,
you're
the
growing
area.
And I would imagine you're learning at the same time. So what have you learned since the last time I saw you? what are you not doing anymore, and the other thing you're going to do more of?
Well, we've learned so many things. Yeah, you're right. Over the course of operating a business now for 8 or 9 months, I think the thing that we've decided that we won't do anymore is, try to be something for everyone. We really know that we are a business that's focused on a segment of the population that is looking for something different, and that, you know, we can't be like our competitors, a truly ubiquitous service. And so we think that, you know, being really focused on the customers that we think have needs in our for our business are where we'll focus. And that means that we will continue to grow, but do it in a way that is
thoughtful.
Thoughtful is probably the right word. Yeah.
Well, that's what I would have thought. So, I mean, the way I understand it, so the Dallas Cowboy game lets out.
Sure.
And 80,000 people come out all at once, of which 3,000 want immediate transport. mean, you've got to give that market away. That's not your market, right?
It can't. Well, I mean, what we know is that there has to be a way to make money in this business. And so when I say that we're not going to serve everybody, we know that there's a certain segment of the population that is looking for the absolute cheapest ride, the cheapest way to get from point A to point B. And public transportation has been subsidized for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Now the ride business has been subsidized by VCs and by others for, you know, tens of years. And it looks like, based on the public markets, it's going to continue to be subsidized by public investment for a lot longer. And so
point being, Uber doesn't make any money.
Uber doesn't make any money. Lyft doesn't make any money. And it's because they're serving a portion of the population that really is just focused solely on price. And so, yeah, we want a lot of those customers that are leaving the Cowboys game, but we want the ones that care about the differentiated product that we're bringing to the market.
But I guess, I mean, you can't show up with 50 cars all at once. I mean, on 5 minutes' notice on a cell phone. I mean, theoretically, Uber could, I guess, because they've got.
Well, they have 2 million drivers in the U.S., so they can certainly show up with more.
So you got.
But we can predict pretty accurately what our demand is going to be based on how many people we took to the game. We can do that, you know, week over week based on how the Cowboys games are evolving and how our growth is looking. So that's exactly the kind of advantage of our business, is that we can much better predict what that demand is looks like, and then staff our drivers to meet that demand. In fact, drivers are the absolute largest cost base in our business. The car itself is actually pretty small in our COGS, and so we really focus on staffing our drivers to match the demand that we see from our customers.
Do you see yourself mostly as a software company?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, differently from our competitors, we are not a technology company. We're a service company, and we're operators. And that is a really hard thing to do, and we think a capability that will be very valuable over the course of time as we move closer and closer to an autonomous future. We use technology to be great operators and to enable our operation and enable our experience for our customers. But we are an operating company, not a technology company.
Are many other companies using this same model in other areas, other cities?
I don't think there are many out there like us, and that's what we think makes us so different.
Well, then you're going to move pretty swiftly. If you're well, I mean, because if you're really successful, they're going to knock you off.
That's true. The thing that we're most worried about actually is not our existing competitors, but that others that see a successful model copying it and growing, you know, at the same or faster pace than we are.
So have you gone back for a second round of funding, or is that in the?
We're in the middle of fundraising right now and about to close a round that we are excited to allow us to continue to develop Dallas and start to enter some new markets in early next year.
So this will take you beyond. You think you can get out beyond North Texas?
Absolutely. We know that proving Dallas is really important to our economic model and showing that we can truly be different than our competitors. But the other important thing is showing that we can now do that in multiple markets. So that's the next goal.
Well, like I say, I see you more often, so I know you're still around and you got to be successful.
When many people see us, they think we might be a new luxury hotel that just started up downtown, but that's not the case. You can ride us even if you're not staying at an Alto.
You know, those Buicks you drive are conspicuous, though. You don't see a lot of those Buicks. How did you decide on that?
The car is really chosen for three reasons. One is it's safe. It's 5-star crash rated. It's also really functional. It works for a one-person trip, but also for a family trip to the airport. And we think it's also really aligned with our brand. It's spacious and roomy for a business traveler, and luxurious enough to be a great ride for anybody going out on a date.
We wish you, again, continued success. It'd be fun to watch you grow.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Will Coleman, CEO of ALTO. Could be Alto, could be Alto.
RideAlto.com.
For more of our conversation or to hear it again, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.